Welcome on board. This is The Bearing and my name is Martia Umar. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Bearing. Hardship in Nigeria is biting very, very hard. Factories and shops are closing even as people are losing their jobs. This hardship is separating homes and increasing crimes. The situation in recent times now has pushed many people to take extreme measures. Extreme measures like taking their own lives. Is that very bad? So on the show today, we will be taking a look at how some people have taken these extreme measures, how it is driving people into depression, and in worst case scenario, attempting to take their own lives, or some people have taken their own lives. But before we get into all of that, one of the questions I always ask myself is, how do people even survive? If you're listening to me now, I might not get your answer right now, but how do you survive? Have you asked yourself sincerely, how are you even surviving? Trust me, this is rubbing off on everyone. I constantly have to think of going to the market, getting household items, and the next day or the next time you are at the same market buying the same item, cost is almost double the price you got it the last time. And it is so depressing. But we move, just like a lot of people would say. We have to encourage ourselves to keep moving, keep hanging in there, regardless of how worse the situation is becoming. It is tiring, I must say it is, but we have to hang in there. Anyway, let's not make the show about myself or the hurdles that I have to cross at some point, or is still crossing. My colleague Lukman Awal is here in the studio with me. Hello, Lukman. How are you doing?
Thank you very much, my dear.
How is Nigeria treating you?
My sister. We'll get there.
All right. In as much as a lot of people say this is a cliche and people do not want to complain about how life is treating them, which I don't encourage, because sometimes when you do complain, you might not get help, but it is very important that you speak up too when you need help. Mm. You never can tell who will be given the helping hand.
That's true.
So tell us some of your findings about how people are coping, how people are being driven to take very, very extreme measures just to cope with all of the hardship we're facing right now.
Yeah, so there's a lot of hardship in the country. From my own corner, from my own ends, each time I step out of the house, I see people with long faces. Mm-hmm. You don't really see people with those excitement like we used to see them before. I see some of those who still have their jobs. You see some just walking by every day.
Trekking
to work or walking to work or just to even reduce transport and stuff like that. It's really not been funny. You hear issues of people trying to commit suicide. Some get rescued while some just were unfortunate to lose their life in the process. And the most recent and the most touched one that really touched me is this one that happened in Lagos. That was so, you can imagine a man who is above 52 committed suicide.
According to findings, what do you find out? What was the reason?
Well, this one gave the detail that yes, economic crisis led to his depression. From depression, the man couldn't take it no more. Mm. And I also learned that it was not the first time he attempted. He first attempted and was rescued. He wanted to jump into a lagoon or the beach. But this time he waited for the child to leave the house and then he had to hang himself. There was no rope. He tied the clothes in the house to commit
just
suicide.
Just to hang himself.
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on.
Well, you can imagine that man at that age. He was staying in a three-bedroom flat. He had a problem with landlord.
He couldn't keep up.
Couldn't keep up. Left the place for a single room. A family man.
And what about the one that happened in Papi, one of the suburbs in the FCT?
Yes. You can imagine a boy who was not even up to 25. I heard the mom is a bean cake seller.
The mother fries akara, just as it's popularly called.
Yes. Fries akara. And he hung himself. Unfortunately, he didn't make it. Hmm. So the boy died.
Those are like, you know, I think you told us one time, you know, people now know shortcuts.
Yes.
Very fast shortcuts. Routes to get to their destination.
Yes.
And this is something that we didn't even think about.
Who could have thought of it? Imagine you're nicely dressed for work. Then you don't have to walk around before you get to the office. You're sweaty and tired. It reduces our productivity.
But so when did the economic downturn, when did it start hitting Nigerians so much?
Well, we always knew Nigeria has always been a happy country. People with happy people. Country with happy people. But I think it
started. Oh, you mean the suffering and smiling?
Suffering and smiling, yes. That's okay. Suffering and smiling.
A lot of people will say that.
Yes, yes. But I don't think there's anything like suffering and smiling these days. People are not smiling.
Mm.
You know, people are not smiling. And I think it has a lot to do with this subsidy removal. Because whatever you do, whatever tells on the prices of fuel or transportation will definitely hit back on every commodity and service we have need to pay for. Because once the transportations are increased, every good, every business person that's out there to give any good or services will want to get the return.
All right, thank you very much for sharing some of your findings with us on the show today, Bearin. Thank you very much for being here.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll not just stop it here. My colleague Bisola Fatoyi also gives us an eyewitness account of a man who almost took his own life, and according to her findings, he attempted suicide due to some kind of financial depression he was going through at that time. Take a listen.
So on a particular Monday evening, I was returning from work and I was walking on a very popular bridge in the FCT known as Galadima Bridge. I saw an acquaintance and then I stopped to say hi. And while I was speaking with her, I was facing a direction of where people were walking towards me. And I couldn't help but notice a man who was a young guy actually, who looked so dejected and frustrated. But you know, I just flashed it off as, you know, it's one of those things. Had a long day, tired, thinking about, you know, how to get home and rest and all of that. And then while I focused my attention back on the person I was having a conversation with, I just heard people scream. And then I raised up my head to see that the guy who I had seen just a few seconds, minutes maybe ago, had jumped over the bridge. Now he did this in a bid to kill himself, to commit suicide. Fortunately for him, he did not die, but sustained a lot of injuries on his legs. Where he fell was not where a lot of cars were. Where he landed, I mean, was not where a lot of cars were moving so much. So he was, you know, a lot of people ran towards him and quickly rushed him to the hospital. And it just got me thinking how so many people are carrying burdens that are so much, are so heavy for them to, you know, to live with. And people just need as much support as they can get. You know, it's everywhere. It's not just in Nigeria or Abuja. It's globally. It's in the whole world. I have a friend. He's more like the breadwinner of his family. He lost his parents and he has younger siblings. And most of them are still in school. But unfortunately for him, right after school and service, he hasn't really found anything tangible to do. So a lot of times he keeps not just talking to me, you know, from the little things. You see people post on their WhatsApp status and say, I'm tired, you know, this life, you know, where are we headed? And a lot of times we just brush it off as jokes. But this particular person was doing all of that, saying all of that, especially on social media. And I had to reach out and just check up on him. Are you okay? Is everything fine? And then he started saying things like, I wish I wasn't born. I wish I could just end it all. And to be honest, I wouldn't have known that it was that bad. And then I tried since then to, you know, take it upon me to send him opportunities. Every time I come across them, every time I can, I just try to tell him, don't worry, things will get better. Just put in the work and, you know, give the best you can and your hard work will pay off in the end. But it doesn't change the fact that so many people are going through this and so many people have probably not had, I don't know if it's to call it the courage now to do things as much as suicide, but to be very honest, I am sure and I know that it crosses the minds of so many people, just like this friend of mine who literally probably, he actually said it, that he was actually contemplating committing suicide. because he didn't have support from anywhere. He didn't have anybody to help, and the economy isn't helping.
Okay, that was my colleague Bisola with not so pleasant news there about somebody who tried to commit suicide. So at this point, let's hear from some Nigerians on how this economic hardship is affecting them.
If you say affect, is an understatement. It is adversely killing Nigerians gradually. You see people wearing clothes are moving about. Most of them are gone. BP and all other illnesses have emitted from this instability in prices. You wake up every morning like my wife, you give her money to go to the market today, go and come back and say, I couldn't buy anything today. So, and there is the government is not employing, the government is not increasing salary, there is nothing that is being increased when it talks of your income.
The country is, things are very hard now. Things are very, very hard. Transportation is something that is beyond the reach of the poor now. Like every other thing, goods in the market, everything are skyrocketing very, very high. So I think the government should do something as fast as possible.
I'm Cyprian. The changes has been so drastic, and it's very, very tough on us, we the citizens. Because initially, if I take my car to a fuel station, I use like 10 to 12K to fill up my tank. But this time around, you use almost 40-something K. I'm just coming out of a fuel station where I use like almost 19K to just fill half tank of my car. So it's very, very tough on us, the citizens.
Well, it has not been easy. I don't know, but we are Nigerians. Most times we get used to things, but then this is getting out of hand. Like most before now, I spend roughly 1,000 to get to work, but now I'm spending 1,800, 1,700, and if I calculate by the end of the day, that's like my salary. So it's just like I'm not working or I'm doing contribution for myself. So it has not been really easy. Even in the market, things are very expensive, and my worry is that things keep getting high. And the source of income, like our income, is still the same. It's not increasing. And I don't know what you expect Nigerians to do. I heard cases of armed robbery and other things increasing.
It's not easy, to tell you the truth. It's not easy. Even for me here like this, it's not easy to enter motor from my house to this very place. Sometimes I trick because of the first subsidy. Sometimes I find it so difficult to come to work. Even though that my boss is a very nice man and he understands. So like this very morning, I trek down to my working because I wake up since very morning, like around 5, walking down from the road to this very place. It was not even like easy to for me particularly. Even to survive it, it's not easy. It's very, very hard, very, very hard time ever in my life, very, very hard time like this. This very government is very hard government ever in my life. I never seen this kind of thing before. Like this kind of first subsidy is a very worst one.
Honestly, my sister, I will tell you the truth. It's not easy at all. It's not easy. Where we were entering motor 100 naira before, now it's 400 naira. It's not easy. I'm just thinking how other people are coping. People that doesn't have another means of livelihood. They just depends on their salary. How are they even coping?
It's not how me are coping. It's how all Nigerian people coping. Because I can't see why people are living under suffering. The first time we passed through COVID-19. After COVID-19, what's happened again? We come through cash scarcity, isn't it?
Yes.
Then after that again, we come to fuel. A just president coming to Nigeria, tell government, climb the government, sit on the first day, and first of all, came in. Then let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, Nigeria, it's just an insult, embarrassing, shame, hardship. You understand me? Pushing us to people to become criminal, armed robbers, kidnappers, a lot of things happen. Why?
And those were the voices of some Nigerians lamenting the economic hardship. Let's go on a quick break. When we come back, the bearing will continue. Do stay with us. An impact impactful stories of the day,
treated inside out with in-depth analysis
to give you insight into the issues that matter.
The issue of injustice needs to be addressed. We are going into hell.
Why are you sending your child? Why are you that poor? Are you that hungry?
Oh, we are not practicing any democracy in Nigeria. They don't deal with us well.
Trust us on Nigeria Daily, a daily podcast from Daily Trust
to bring to you the news behind the news.
So listen in, log into our website at dailytrust.com or on buzzsprout.com.
You can also listen in on Spotify and TuneIn Radio.
Follow up on Instagram and Twitter at Daily Trust and on Facebook at Daily Trust.
Welcome back to the show. You're still listening to The Bearing, and in this episode, we're discussing the hardship being faced by many Nigerians and its effect, which has led to many people taking extreme measures like depression, attempting to take their own lives. In fact, some have taken their own lives in recent times, like we heard before the break. So listen to this episode all over again. Log onto our website, which is on www.dailytrust.com or on buzzsprout.com. You can also listen to us or download this episode or other episodes of The Bearing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. Do not forget that you can always keep a date with us on the radio station you listen to us right now. That is, if you're listening to us from any of the radio station in any of the states in the country, right? So before the break, we heard from my colleague who spoke about their findings as well as eyewitness accounts of effects of the economic hardship and how many people are dealing with it. We also heard from some Nigerians on how this hardship is affecting their daily lives, especially after the second increase in the pump price of fuel, that is from 540 naira to over 600 naira per liter. Now, how does this financial pressure affect one's mental health? How can we deal with this financial pressure and the feeling of frustration, depression, or even suicidal thoughts? We'll put this question and more to a life and a business coach.
I am Dr. Aisha Adabiru, founder and CEO of Master Coach Coaching and Mentoring.
Financial pressure is like a weight on the mind of individuals going through struggling to pay their bills. They have debts, you know, so. And mental health is your ability to cope with stress and also to be able to achieve your life's goals. So when individuals are faced with financial pressure, they are unable to meet, you know, their financial needs. In some cases, they have debts that they are unable to actually service at the moment. So in this way, we can say that financial pressure can impact mental health and cause mental health challenges.
All right. So how can one deal with financial pressure now and the feeling of frustration and even the thought of suicide?
Okay, so what we advise is when individuals face financial pressure, they need to actually sit down and itemize their income coming in and what are their expenses on a monthly basis, and then find ways of cutting down on things that they can't do without in the moment. So like if the individual is fond of eating out, they can start making their meals at home and they will learn ways to preserve meals so they can actually make meals in batches. If they have debts, they can look at ways to restructure their debts. Now, when it comes to mental health, what individuals can do with respect to that is to talk to friends and family who actually care for them. But what's best is to speak to a professional. And there are a lot of free professional counseling services available that, you know, they can access online. So they can actually go online and look for a licensed professional to speak to on a pro bono basis, or they can actually also pay for some of these services if they're able to do that.
Okay, Dr. Aisha, a lot of people believe that the only thing these people want is money. Is that true?
No. Sometimes just a hug or a kind word can make a world of difference to somebody who is facing adverse mental health challenges. So I would also encourage all listeners to be kinder this period, be kinder to people, whether you have known them for a long time or you're just meeting them, you do not know what they're struggling with. Say kind words to them. And if you can, help people as much as you can financially by giving out charity. This would go a long way in actually alleviating the current financial pressure that most people are facing.
You know, some people are pushed to the wall in the sense that they don't have families to speak with. They don't have people to back them up in a very difficult times like this. And that's why some people think about suicide. When you start feeling like that, what do you do as an individual?
Okay, so there are a couple of organizations that actually help individuals who are going through this phase. Some of them do it for free. I know ACIDO Foundation, you know, if you go online and Google them, they have helplines that you can reach out to. Richard, you may also be able to go to Human Rights. You may find a counselor there to speak to, I believe. And in this way, you would be able to, you know, help yourself. So you are the first point of, you know, you need to be able to know that there are resources available to you when those thoughts come. So if you're listening in right now and you have this feeling, reach out for help.
Now, how do we cope with our finances? I know you just mentioned, you spoke about how we can cut down on costs. What other measures can we do to cope with the finances, our finances in this difficult time?
Okay, so we can actually check, you know, write down all of the skills that you currently have. Write down all of the knowledge you have and look for a way of leveraging them by monetizing them. Offer, you know, this knowledge to people who maybe, like, for instance, if you know how to maybe use Excel very well, you can actually package it into a training and train others who may not have the time to go to a formal school to learn it. So your target would be maybe bankers that don't yet know, you know, some of the amazing benefits of Excel. And so you can actually target them through maybe Facebook adverts and you get sign-ons. You can also leverage on whatever skill you have. Maybe you're good at making something with your hand. You're good at tailoring, you're good at something. Some of those extra hours, rather than spending it thinking of, you know, being broke, you can actually invest it in developing this skill, monetizing this skill. So these are some of the strengths that I encourage individuals to look for within themselves and leverage to actually cope during this time.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. It's been helpful. And I know you are a business coach and a life coach. Now, what would you say, you know, to everyone out there who's listening to you right now, going through some sort of challenges and having this thought of suicide or getting into depression at this moment?
I want to say to you, if you're listening in right now, that you won your first race when you were conceived. There were millions of stem cells actually running towards the ovary of your mom to fertilize the ovary, and you won that race. You won a race when you didn't have eyes or legs. Talk more of now that you have been blessed with life. You have all the resources within you to overcome this current challenge you're dealing with. If you look through the story of some very great men today, they've been through some of the things you are going through now, but they were able to enhance their self-awareness, they were able to master their mind, and they were able to transform the challenges they had. Read about Oprah Winfrey. She's one of the richest women on earth today. She went through tremendous trauma in childhood. So whatever you're going through, you can take charge of your thoughts. Remember that your thoughts create your feelings and your feelings rule your action. But you have been blessed to do something about it by changing those thoughts running around in your head. I want you to stand up right now, look around you, and live leverage. Take advantage of whatever you can. It could be calling a friend, it could be calling a helpline like Asido Foundation to actually look for ways to start to change your thoughts and then get out of that bad thoughts you have to a more empowering one, like, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow and I can actually do something with my skill or my knowledge and I can fall 4 times and stand up 5 times. And you have that in you. You have the greatest gift, which is life. And you have been blessed with the greatest gift, which is your thoughts, which you can take control of. Please reach out.
And that was a Life in a Business coach speaking on how we can cope with financial pressure as well as managing our finances in the time of economic hardship. And with that, we have come to the end of this episode of The Bearing. God bless Nigeria. We'd like to say thank you to my colleagues, Lukman Awel, Bisola Fatoye, and Daniel Oluwole for their immense contribution to the production of this episode of The Bearing. The Bearing is a Daily Trust production open to sponsorship and advert placement. To listen to this episode all over again, log into our website on www.dailytrust.com or on buzzsprout.com or download these and other episodes of The Bearing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget you can always keep a date with us on the radio station you're listening to us from. And that is if you're listening to us from the radio station in the state that you reside in around Nigeria. My name is Martia Umar. Thank you for being a part of the show until we come your way next week. Enjoy the rest of your day.